Good morning, everyone, and welcome once again to our weekly sunrise support group call, where it's always a warm and compassionate, welcoming space for people like us, all trying to live our best lives and help our families thrive. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. I am excited, as always, to have Dr. Linda McGee back with us. She is our resident expert who comes and shares and guides us on the first Sunday of every month, which is incredible. She's been doing so for over 6 years. Welcome back, Dr. Linda. So happy to have you. I want to tell people real quick a little bit about you, just in case there are some new people here. I won't read your full bio, but we're so happy to
Perfect.
have you here. She is a clinical psychologist, attorney, speaker, and nationally recognized mental health expert. She always supports real challenges with families while supporting children and loved ones through their mental wellness journeys. And today, we're going to talk about testing and something that's really interesting and something that we often don't know a lot about, testing. So, as parents and advocates for our children, we spend so much time trying to figure things out on our own, and we really don't know what's going on sometimes with our children. And when they're struggling, whether it's emotionally or behaviorally or academically, our instinct always is to try to fix it or to try to control the narrative. But today, what we're going to be talking about is the topic called Test, Don't Guess, the Power of Assessments. We are going to demystify what testing actually means, strip away the fear and potential stigma around diagnostic labels, and look at how comprehensive evaluation can become one of the greatest tools of clarity and advocacy in our parenting toolkit. And I am excited to have this conversation. Someone a few months back asked Dr. Linda to come back and talk about this very topic. So we are doing it today. And I want to first say, Dr. Linda, you're the person that tested my children, and you are such an expert in this space. So can you start by sharing why it's important for parents to get their children tested in general?
Well, let me start off by saying this. I am the president of the assessment section for the American Psychological Association at present, and I'm the first Black one
Amazing.
in history, which is interesting. And let me just say this: with any mental health symptoms, challenges, it's not always diagnosable. Right. So some of you that might be on this line, you might have heard me say that your child has these things, but it doesn't necessarily meet the criterion. But that doesn't mean you don't have to address it. So the importance of having your child looked at to understand their psychological, educational, emotional, attentional functioning is this: what we know, we can treat. And some of these things, this is research, y'all. This is not just my opinion. This is not the opinion for someone off the corner. Okay. What we know, what we face, we can work on. So there are ages where when you come in and you go to your pediatrician, some of us are in the DMV, and we have these same three or four pediatricians that are reliable go-to, most of them African American pediatricians. And they will sit in there and say, I've looked at 3,000 2-year-olds, right? And yours is walking slower, or she should have 5 words by now. Now, that doesn't mean that your child just might not be at the outer edge, but the pediatrician is the first line of defense, right? That and preschool teachers. Because remember, they have a laboratory of thousands, you have a laboratory of one. And then we're bringing in our stigma, right? So we don't want anything to be wrong. If I had a dollar for every, African American parent that said to me, my mother said there's nothing wrong with that boy. If I had a dollar for that, I'd have the biggest beach house.
I know I said that back in the day. I said, I just think he's being terrible
That's what
too.
like I had a I told this story on here before, y'all might have heard this, but I had a recently had a parent say to me, well, my mother is like adamant that there's nothing wrong, and she just thinks he need to be in basketball. So what I do sometimes is I'll like bring your mother to the feedback session where we talk about it. Because I want the parents, the grandparents, anybody you want to bring that's in your child's life, bring them. I have them lined up like the Brady Bunch on my screen. And then I can say directly to the grandmother, Grandma, we need you on board. And basketball's not going to fix this. Okay. So the importance of an early diagnosis is that we can work on, like, if your kid has a speech issue, we send them to speech. Every state in the union has speech and language services. The reddest of red states with no dollars have good speech and language services. That's the one thing as a country we do really, really well. If you have a young one that has speech problems or language problems or occupational problems, it's paid for by the government. Right. And we do a really good job of that. So then your child has 2 to 3 years before kindergarten to get their speech and language together. Anything that you have that's diagnosed earlier, your child is a little bit anxious. Sometimes you'll come to me and you'll say, my child's a little bit anxious, but you're fighting like hell to not get them an anxiety diagnosis. And so I might say to you, let's look at these three things. These three things are going on in a year. Come back to me, please. So that way we'll have a plan. So early diagnosis is key. And what I want to say to y'all from the bottom of my heart, because of stigma, because we're fighting trauma, racial trauma, we do not get early diagnosis. So some of you on this line know, you can put in the chat how much these testings cost. They're extremely expensive. So, what we have people doing though, even people with resources will bring me somebody that's 2 months from going to college, right? And they've had this thing for years, or they've suspected autism for years, or they've had problems with reading for years. So if you don't take anything from this next hour, please take go to someone you trust and have us advise you about what to do. But mostly we're going to do is have you get diagnosed. And then last thing I want to say about stigma is that a lot of developmental things that happen, like reading disorders, when I say developmental, y'all, I mean they happen when their child is young, right? Sometimes they're born with it. Right. Sometimes it's a result of birth trauma, things that happen in the birth process, the cord wrapped around their neck, lead exposure. There's a whole bunch of reasons why people have. But the really main reason is that they inherit them. And so this is where we live right now, y'all. This is the hard part I'm getting ready to say. Y'all know where it comes from because it's coming from your house. Right.
Absolutely. The one's coming from their
And
DNA.
yeah.
Absolutely.
And it's, but a lot of times, a lot of people are never diagnosed. So when I do to get information out of people that have either never been diagnosed or from marginalized groups that don't have access to fancy services, is I will ask you who in your family has been diagnosed. And then you're going to say no one's been diagnosed. Right. And then I say, tell me about your family, though. Think long and hard about you and your husband's family. What sticks out with people in your family? And then somebody will say, well, my cousin had to do ninth grade 3 times. Or Uncle Benny didn't come out of his room for 3 years, right? So that way I know there's something there. But you can only get a good diagnosis is the information you put in. So find a tester that you trust. Find it, if you don't trust the tester and you're paying $3,000 to $6,000, not New York rates is even higher, for this testing, what good does it do? So find somebody that you trust and that is known for doing a good job.
So how do people find those people? Because I only know you as an example, and I don't know others in
You
many
know,
areas that
we've
do
talked
this
about this
testing.
before. There's there's not a lot of good psychoeducational assessors, psychological assessors, neuropsychological assessors, but you ask your therapist. You ask therapists that you know. I will say this, especially for those of you who are looking for people of color to test your children. There's 4% Black psychologists, period. 4% Hispanic, 4% Asian. Of those, probably only like 10% of those 4% do assessments. So we're rare, but you just have to do what I've been telling you to do the whole time. Be persistent, call your contacts. Y'all, everybody on this line is probably, a lot of people on this line have texted me. They've gone through Kelly and asked for recommendations. And you all know that I will find you a recommendation.
You will.
I
I
am.
and is it covered by insurance?
Mostly not, right? Here's the thing. One is that if it's like a reading disorder or a math disorder or a writing disorder, anything that the school, the insurance companies deem educational, they will go ahead and not cover any educational things, insurance. But if it's ADHD or it's psychological, anxiety, depression, autism, you might get some back. But let me tell you some good news. One is that you can ask your public school, even if your child is in a private school, you can ask the school system that your child that you live in, the public school system, you can go to that local public school in your neighborhood and you can ask for an assessment of your child. Number two, there are lower costs, testing centers, like if you're in the DMV, the Children's Hospital, Kennedy Krieger, which is part of Johns Hopkins, they have testing cleaners. Anybody in that area, if you ever want, the wait lists are long, unfortunately, but with Kennedy Krieger in Baltimore, I can help you get off the wait list. Mount Washington, also in Baltimore, does lower cost testing. And honestly, it's one of my dreams, is one of my ambitions that I, start a center where we do low cost assessment for people that, can't pay. But George Washington University, Loyola of George Washington University in Washington, D.C., Loyola of Baltimore, they both have very strong testing programs. And so you could get it based on your income at both of those
Oh,
places
that's
also.
good.
And
That's good.
I supervise testing at both of those schools, so I know that they're good.
You have to do them in person, right? There's no option
There
to do
is some
them
on there is some
virtually.
online testing, and I do now do a little bit. People started to really do it during COVID. And I have taken recently on some online clients. But here's why I did it at first, because with children of color, particularly, I just really felt like that it would might be a disadvantage to test them di in distance, and I didn't want to make, obviously y'all know that that's my work is disparities, right? And so I didn't want to make it worse for your child by putting them online on judgment. A lot of times when I'm in a room with your child, I can establish rapport with them and then I feel like I get better data. But there is a possibility now of online testing. I have a something called, I've mentioned this on here a bunch. I have something called CyPack, which is a compact of licensure. And so now I have the ability to practice in 41 states. In
That's
addition
awesome.
to the ones that I'm licensed to, which is Maryland, the district, and Delaware.
Okay. That's awesome. So, what if your child was tested when they were young and they're now, because a lot of us have young adult children, or maybe in high school still. I recognize some of the faces who have high schoolers. But you think the diagnosis needs to be updated.
To be right, it's not want. Like if you get your child tested, like some of these people that I know, I've tested them when they're like 4 or 5, and I've diagnosed, or 6, and I've diagnosed them with ADHD, or I've diagnosed them with a reading disorder, right? As you go up, schools are going to want to see, especially if you send them to private school, they're going to want to see updated testing. And if you're using the testing as a basis to get public school accommodations, then you're going to have to show updated testing. The SAT requires updated testing. The ACT requires 3 years testing. The SAT gives you 5 years. So what I try to do financially with my clients is I help them space it, so that they're not always that you get it the minimal amount of time as you can. Kelly, you were frozen. Are you still frozen?
I hope not.
Okay, so basically bottom line is one of the things I help you do is manage when to get it done. Sometimes people call
Okay.
me with a seventh grader and we know they have ADHD, they're getting accommodations, but they need a report. I'll have them wait until eighth grade. So that way for the SATs, it'll carry them through high school. So you don't have to
Okay.
get it twice before college, right?
Got it.
So the financial management of a $5,000 assessment is one of the services that I help to provide.
Got it. Got it. But what if your child is adult, an adult? I'm thinking about one of mine. I'd love to have him be retested. And
You can pay, and but they have to come in, they have to come in on their own accord.
they
I
have
do
to agree to
quite a
do
bit
it.
of kids that are between 19 and 25 now, 25, 26, because especially with young men of all races and ethnicities, they're in a lot of times they're in a denial. They're fighting the diagnoses and they're fighting their parents. But then when they get out there and they realize that they're unable to work in the way that other people work, they're unable to matriculate from college, and they see their friends matriculating from college, then a lot of times they're looking for answers. They stop fighting. So, this last year, I've done quite a bit of testing for kids who left college, and either because they didn't graduate. But most schools, universities are going to require testing. And there's a lot I can say about that. A lot of times, it's not just that I test your child, it's that I talk to the person at Cornell. Right, to have them understand that your child is going through depression, and it's really bad, and we look at all the factors. I talk to the parents and the individual about, like sometimes there might be a Dartmouth and it's dark, and they're more it's dark at 5 o'clock, and they might be getting depressed. And so sometimes I'll talk to the counseling department, I'll talk to private practice people, and I'll talk to the school about, how can we accommodate your child, right? And for those of you who don't know, the accommodations are far and wide, right? We can talk more about that. Like I can get, I've asked for a child to get a single because they just really can't tolerate living with anyone. I ask that they get priority registration, so that when they're at college, they can register before other people register, so that they can get the class that fits their mental health, their status. Obviously, extra time for SATs and ACTs and medical school exams and LSATs and law school exams. In addition to extra time, I get like some breaks. Sometimes when you're anxious, you need a break. And sometimes I have testing broken out over days. So instead of taking, if I get you extra time for a 4-hour SAT, that would be 6 hours typically, extra time. So you cannot, your anxiety cannot tolerate 6 hours of testing. So I help break it down between 3 hours one day and 3 hours the next day.
That's fantastic.
And then one last thing I want to just, I'm sorry, this is my topic. So,
I know.
I don't get to talk about it very much to lay people, is that To help you understand your child, to help them understand themselves, a lot of times I'll take them aside and I talk to them in a way that's age appropriate, because the quicker they buy in, the better.
The quicker they buy in, that's the key. Because we were talking about the little one, the youngest one. He's not little, the youngest one, and how, I think he should definitely be retested because of some additional things that have happened. And I think that a person that's trusted, like yourself, who he knows, would have to have that conversation. Can't come from mom. And so, what do you recommend for people who, a parent who thinks maybe my child needs to be tested and they're 24, 21, whatever? How do you get that person that they may not know to talk to your child?
Sometimes I'll just say, bring him in and let's meet, right? And you guys, you all understand this because you're dealing with children that are dealing with some things. It's a long game sometimes. I'll tell
That's
you a little
right.
story. I asked to meet a young woman who really needs testing, diagnosis, and treatment. And she came in to meet me and she said, you know what, I like you, but I'm not doing this right now. Right. It's about 24, 25. A year later, the mother had been doing all the contact with me previously. A year later, I gave her my number and I told her, I said, you're welcome back to my shop anytime. Right. One day she texted me and she said, can I talk to you? Right. I'm like, sure. Like I was breaking my neck to get out of that meeting, right, to call her. I called her. She's like, I'm ready now. If my mom will pay, I'm like, your mom's gonna pay. We're gonna get this done, right? And so you gotta understand that sometimes my job is a relay, right? To make sure that when I see your son or I see your daughter, that I make them feel comfortable enough to explore on their own. I tell them sometimes, you guys will laugh. I tell them sometimes, it doesn't matter what Kelly's saying. I wanna know what you want to do. Right,
That's
what's your
right.
goal? Right, I'd like to go to college. Okay, well, that's what I do. Right, I know people go to college. When you ready for that, and so my job is sometimes I might not test that child, but I've laid the foundation. Right, and that's what one of my
Planted the
black
seed.
instructors told me. She's like, sometimes you're the relay station. So my job in your lives is to be a relay station, whether or not I get them there, whether I'm the last leg or I'm the first leg or somewhere in the middle, is it my job is to keep you going on the track until your child does get help. Many of
I
you
love that.
already know that you can't make them.
No, we cannot. They have to want to do it. There's a question. There's a hand up. So please feel free to come off of mute. Keisha, good morning.
Hey, good morning. You know what? I am in that exact same situation with a 30-year-old son, and I have literally exhausted every option that I possibly could. This last option that I had was that I went down to I'm in Ohio, in Dayton, Ohio, and I went down to Montgomery County Probate Court and filed an affidavit of mental illness for him. And of course, they had ordered him to have an evaluation. He didn't go. An agency ended up going out with me to help to see him. And they did, once we talked, they said, well, I can tell that he would benefit from treatment, but again, it has to be voluntarily. It has to be on his own, by going in voluntarily to do it. So And I hate to say that I feel like I'm stuck, but I guess what I had to do was come to a place of that God. I had to lean on my faith, like real tough, like and so I'm finding that I'm finally able to get at a place where I have released it and truly surrendered him to God, because as a mom, I've done absolutely everything I can. I am grateful to God for many reasons, because he has truly kept him, because he was living in Arizona, and then God closed that door. And he had to come back to Dayton. So he is at least close. But I just wanted to share that is exactly the place that I'm at right now with a 30-year-old that who refuses to accept his condition and go to get treatment.
Well, the hard thing about this, and this topic has come up many, many times, is that they're in control of their lives. And unless they do something so egregious that the state steps in, and trust me, most of y'all probably already noticed it has to be really, really bad. And, by that time, it's late in the game. They have to come to that realization. And the hardest thing for parents to do is to stop trying to fix it, right? And you're there if they need it, but as painful as it is, and I heard a pain in your voice, you kind of just stop me and pause me for a second. As painful as it is, if a person, an adult person in America, doesn't want help, they can avoid help.
That's what I have just I have found that out.
I have a case that I recently worked on. We're in a situation where we have these educated people, young people in our houses. And so they'll be talking crazy to us. And I mean that in a joking kind of a way, but they'd be talking any kind of way to us and even non-jokingly abusive way. But when those medical and those psychological people and those police get to the house, they know how to conjugate those Cornell verbs. They know how to present themselves. And so this has happened with one of my people that I work with, where every time we get to the point where we call the people, then all of a sudden he goes and changes his clothes and he's, cleaned up, the hair is brushed back, and he presents to them like he is Albert Einstein, right? Just misunderstood.
That
So,
is my son. Oh my God, that is my son. Yes, he will when he gets out, and because the boy is so smart. He is extremely smart. And honey, when he gets in front of those people and those evaluators and those assessors, I just look at him in amazement, like you really are putting on a show. Like you are just truly educated, just as bright, and he is, but at the same time, bro, you need some help.
But again, the people say, hey, because they're so you they're comparing your child against the people that they seeing on the streets, right? Which are severely mentally ill and to other people of color that aren't as educated. And your child looks good by comparison, right? So, the system's yardsticks are different. And unfortunately, they don't do anything until the child does something that either crosses the criminal justice system or what have you. And then all hell breaks loose. Right. And the legal systems, I just talked about this, about how kids are a lot of times are misdiagnosed in the mental health care system, and they carry that misdiagnosis through the legal system. And the legal system is a very blunt instrument. It doesn't incorporate and encapsulate mental health in a delicate way. Right. So those two systems, like I said, I just spoke about this in Canada, about how bipolar children with bipolar in the black and brown communities are misdiagnosed. And those misdiagnoses carry through the legal system, because the quickest way to get into the legal system is to have mania. And that's how particularly our boys get into the criminal justice system, is that they're acting out, they're doing something in public while they're in their manic episode.
I love what I love that conversation and Keisha, your share and being so open. I appreciate, and I wanted to just say, last week, I think it was Dr. Laverne Collins, she said something that really spoke to me about, because you mentioned faith and surrendering and giving him over to God. And she said, in the middle of the storm, nothing can separate me from the love of God that's in Christ, no matter what's happening. So she talked about praying for peace, praying for our children, praying for peace. I think that was really, it was really, it hit me in a
And
way that was
one
special.
thing that I like about this group, and I just urge y'all to do, is that support one another. Like if you have a friend that's going through something, some days you have that powerless day. Sometimes you have that mad day. Some days you have that, why am I the only person dealing with this? Some days you have that day where you don't like your kid. You can't stand them. Okay. Some days you feel like there's never going to be no progress. Right. And so what I'm saying to you all is to support one another, because Kelly is very eloquent in speaking about the isolation of being in that fancy, fancy place that she was in Bethesda, Maryland, and having a child at that fancy, fancy public high school, and your child's not may not even finish high school, let alone go to college, right? It's the could you it's the most isolating thing in the world. To go to these fancy little breakfasts and graduation breakfasts, and like, where'd you going? Right.
It's like we're
And
working on getting them to graduate. That's the goal right now. Get them through high school.
then you turn on Facebook, and so-and-so's got a Fulbright, and so-and-so, and it's just really, really isolating. So my point is that check on your friends that are going through this stuff.
That's
Come on
right.
this
Be
line
it and be
and
in a safe
support.
community like here. I want to say something because it looks like Nashawn came on and has her
Go
mic
ahead.
on. So I wasn't sure, Nashawn, if you had a question or.
Oh, hi, Kelly.
Good
Hi,
morning.
everybody. Actually, I didn't know my mic was on, but I'm glad I was able to get in because last week I tried to get in and I didn't have the new link. But I do have a question. So I kind of missed the beginning of what the conversation was about, but I wanted to just kind of get some advice or whatever for regarding my daughter. We have a daughter who she was diagnosed as bipolar. She's 32, and then recently she was diagnosed as borderline personality disorder. And she has been with us ever since she graduated from college. So she came back home, and ever since then, it's just been a roller coaster. Back in the past, she did have a psychotic break, and all of that was hospitalized, and in and out of jobs, all of those kind of things. And so now, she has a pretty stable job. But of course, she gets bored and all of that. But now what she has taken up is a gambling problem. And so, and I'm like, where did this come from? And so it's just been such a challenge in trying to help her to manage her life. She constantly talks about how she wants to move, and we want her to move as well. It's been, like I said, it's been 10 years, and we have done everything we could possibly do. She's in counseling. She's had several therapists. She's been in an outpatient program. And she's incredibly talented. I mean, just gifted in the arts and all of that. And so she knows how to do just about anything that you could imagine. But it's just been, we're concerned about, her leaving. How will she do on her own? Because it's that constant, sometimes she gets into manic, or she gets extremely depressed, or suicide ideations, or all of that, and just the constant need for affirmation and all the things that we have dealt with her. It just seemed like it's unending, like it's a bottomless pit. And so, she the one put the date on, her moving out in October. We extended to December because, we knew she wasn't making enough money and trying to give her time to make more. She's got a second job as well. But the concern is what's going to happen in December. And so just unsure of what, because she's looking for to maybe rent a room or whatever, but just not sure what the next step should be or how to get her moving forward in her life.
because living here just doesn't work anymore for us.
A tricky question that I think I confront at least 2 to 3 times a week. But first of all, I want to acknowledge with you and the other person that spoke earlier. Know that y'all have done everything that you can do, right? And I hear that and receive that you have gone to hell and back, right? That's a pretty heavy duty diagnosis, and I want to, just assure you that with a borderline diagnosis, even if it's not right, even if it's bipolar, these are pretty serious diagnoses. And but when you said bottomless pit, that the person really can't operate without a lot of affirmation, which probably means that, they've been in some pretty dysfunctional relationships. It is really, really tough. But here are two things that I want that pop out at me. Is one, sometimes you don't want to be the person that's always seen as holding them back, right? Even though you know their plan ain't realistic, even though you know their rent is 1800 and they only make 1400, sometimes they need to get out there and see that. If they can do that without harming other people or themselves, that they won't be content unless they try it, right? And they won't be content when they try it. Okay, so you gotta just understand that. And the number two thing is that it's okay for you to want to have some space from that, even if it's 6 months. Speaking to a mom recently, and she was like, it only lasted 9 months that he was able to be outside of the house, but she was able to like get a grip on her life a little bit, and to get some sleep at night, and to not always be confronting an adult child who don't want help.
Because she's going to a support group for the gambling. Her sister is now trying to help her manage her money. She smokes weed all the time. It's just, we've been in sessions with her, met with her therapist, done all the things because we know she's not honest in her sessions. And so there's a lot of missing pieces that we try to fill in for her with the therapist so she can get so the therapist can have a clear understanding of who she's working with. But it has, I mean, we literally have done everything. And I think, my other daughter, she's like, well, mom, what is going to happen? Taylor's not going to be able to make it on her own, and it's like, sometimes our daughter will even say, maybe I do need to be in a residential place, but then I'll lose my job and I'll do this. And I'm like, well, you're going to have to
What?
decide on that. But it's just, we know this is not working,
Maybe there's a group home or facility or a halfway house where they get minimal services, but they still have some independence. Ask around in your area, and see if there's some program that she could maybe qualify for. But again, like I said, you already know that the struggles that your child is facing, and that the likelihood of success is not super high. But sometimes, they are going to do it come hell or high water.
And I realized that, and I know that she's gotten very, very comfortable here. We do live in the Virginia area and not too far from DC, but it's just, it's just been overwhelming, and I'm tired. My husband and I, we are, in our 60s, early, I'm in my early 60s, but and so we're both in our early 60s, and
Tired.
so it's just trying to navigate this and see how we can bring this to a conclusion where she can get out there and live her best life, whatever that looks like. I mean, we love her. I tell you, you got wings. They really do work. And but it's just been a it, and it really impacts the whole family. It really does.
Yeah. Impacts your health, it impacts your physical health, your mental
Yes,
health, and your
mental.
spirit.
Yeah. Yeah,
And we've talked
absolutely.
about this several times on here, and we have some people on here who have experienced this, that it's okay to want your child to live in a place other than where you live.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know, I
Yes.
want to just comment on that. First, I see two comments, and I 100% agree. My eldest and I don't do well together. And I had him say that by simply asking a question. Do you think we do well living together? He was like, oh no. I said, why do you say that? And he said, you have too many rules and simple boundaries. Put your dish in the dishwasher. You know, don't take food in your room. Everything in there is white. Like, you know, but he just couldn't do it. So and then I ended up fussing all the time, which sounded like nagging. And it's okay to say, he had sh your daughter needs to leave. I think what two things Dr. Vicky says, sometimes the answer is okay. Grace to surrender our adult children to God is my constant prayer. And I do believe that. I have a sister who's almost 56. My mother has the same worry. Sure, her lease is up in September. She needs to find another place to live. Can't
And
afford
it's
where she
also,
is. But when she gets out there, she's going to figure it out. That's my belief. I think when you get out there, they will figure it out.
Kelly and I have talked about this with her sister a couple of times. It's like, well, you know, because Kelly is being seen as the person that comes in and tries to help, you know, fix it. What would she do if Kelly wasn't there? Going back to this issue of living, you know, living with your children, I'm saying this deliberately because I want people to feel that we can process the guilt here. You know,
That's
that, you know,
fine.
I really want my child to live somewhere else. I don't want to live with them anymore.
And you deserve that. You deserve to live
And
your
that I'm
life.
tired.
So one other comment says you can con thank you, Lauren says. Lauren says you can contact your state agencies for further direction and possibly AI the question, and it might give you additional information and contact numbers. God bless.
Okay,
In
so I
terms of
wanted to address that disability question because we were just talking about that before we came on the air today. That's one of the kinds of cases that I write testing for when people have been denied disability because, you know, now they just deny you out of hand. And you know, a lot of times you have to go back through with attorney or whatever. And to set the disability bar for a mental health diagnosis like anxiety or depression, autism, intellectual disability, you have to say certain things. And a doctor typically has to say them. And so, you know, for those of you who are, you know, in that business, then a report is probably going to be helpful for you. The last thing I want to say as we wait for people that want to talk is that testing is about our reconciling that person, the child in our dreams, and the child in front of us. It's a part of that process of understanding that that child in our dreams is not the child in reality. And then we carry that up to this present day where we are like, it's okay for me to let this adult child make their way in the world, even with mental health issues. Right? So it's a part of the reconciliation and grief process that we go through. And that's one of the things that I talk about a lot about to other psychologists is that I train them to understand, as particularly with African American parents, the state of alarm that we're in when we bring our child to get an assessment, right? And how we have to help them through this process of trauma, stigma, the church, your mother, Facebook, all these things that are doubt that our child is going to be a statistic and that the police are going to shoot them. And, you know, like all of
All
these
the fears.
processes, there are things that other groups don't necessarily have to go through. But
Can I
it
just
really,
ask a question just to clarify what you said about this question from Carmen that says, what is the pathway like in getting disability for people with psychological disorders? Are you saying that if a person, let's say her child, got tested with you And you said, okay, this person has or is on the spectrum and has bipolar. I'm making all this up. I don't know. Is it at that point you or the another tester would also say they are disabled? You know what the
Oh, we're in our opinion, right? That they'll be the final arbiter. The government is the final
the
arbiter, but
governor
the
govern wait
government, the Social Security
government. Okay,
Administration,
got it.
disability people.
Got it. Okay.
The thing is again, like we've pushed our children, even in mental health, even with mental health challenges, to achieve academically, to present themselves in a certain way, and we ourselves are trained to cover anxiety and depression and to keep pushing ahead. And so a lot of times these things kind of work against us in terms of the system and disability.
Yeah.
But
I
I
want to read
do.
this comment and I would love to have the floor open for our last few minutes. Someone, Janice says, I experienced that when my son lived in a sober home for about a year and was working. It showed him and the family that he could do it. Unfortunately, he relapsed and had to leave, but it was empowering then, even now when I look back. So your daughter, Nashawn, is going to figure it out and be fine. That's what we're going to pray for.
We're gonna claim that. And we do know that if a person did it for a year, like the part of alcoholism and drug abuse, relapses are a part of that process. And so if the person could get help to say, look, you did it a year, let's get back on track and try it again. But it sounds like that what we've been talking about here is somebody that hasn't really laid the foundation, but they still insist upon going anyway. So the process and the results might be different.
Right. Let's open up the floor. Are there any additional questions? Thank you for sharing, Keisha and Nashawn, and for people that are writing in the chat. If you have any other thoughts or want to share something or anything on your mind while we have our resident expert here, Dr. Linda, feel free. I have a question since the topic is testing. How much does it cost? Over approximately, a range. And how long does it take if I wanted to get my 21-year-old, which I think you might say yes.
You're in this DMV area for a good tester, it's between like $4,700 and $5,500. I test over 6 to 8 hours over 3 days. And so I typically, it depends on what the question is, but let's say your child is trying to go back to college. You know, they've been out for a while because of mental illness. Like I have to look at everything. Their IQ, their academic performance, their executive functioning, their emotional functioning. And now what I've begun to do a little bit more of is spectrum related issues and disability, and trying to get children into the programs, right? Which is, sounds like where a lot of you are now, adult children that need the Department of Employment Services, that need programs in order to get them back on track. And so I do a little bit of that now. So that, and then you get like a 20-page report. It usually takes this whole process because I'm usually testing months ahead. You know, you might get on my, you might call me in July, and you might get tested in September, and then you have the report in November. So it's a long process, but it's an investment. That's what I think. And
It's an
also,
important investment.
I am really honest with parents about who needs it and who doesn't. Right. And so like I will tell you, okay, this is happening with your child. I agree with you, you're right. But you can go to Kennedy Krieger and get on a list and get this for cheaper. A lot of times there's issues that have to do with legalities, the criminal justice system, and those are the complex cases are the ones that I now keep. And I'm like, yeah, you need to, you know, you need to be with me. Right.
Yes.
And because I also, you know, I'm a for because I'm a lawyer, I'm familiar with the forensic and the legal system.
That's awesome. There's a question that says, what 9 states, Dr. Linda, are you not licensed to work in? She's in North Carolina, it looks
North
like.
Carolina is a SIPAC state, so I am licensed for there, and you can send me an email.
Explain SIPAC again, please, for
SIPAC
people.
is a compact that I actually helped get in Maryland,
Awesome.
and it means that you can do telehealth. And it means that you can, in this state that you're licensed in. So if you're licensed in Maryland, Maryland is my home state. I'm also have telehealth privileges in 41 states. And I also have the ability to be in your state for a certain number of days.
That's awesome.
And sometimes people just bring their kid to DC, to be honest with you. They plan it around, and I did a New York. New York doesn't have SIPAC, but I did a New Jersey day. And I tested a couple of kids that where the parents wanted me to do the testing. I just went to New Jersey and they
That's
met me from New
awesome.
York.
I love that. And do you think we as parents should be tested?
I think
How often do
a
you
lot of
test
mine are
parents?
for I test parents a lot after I test the kids. And because the dad will say to
Okay.
me or the mom will say to me, okay, I think if I get diagnosed for work, it might help me. Because I'm dealing with like people that are like taking financial services exams, and I'm like, well, why don't you come get diagnosed formally so you could take it on the computer or you could take a pen and paper? Like,
Yes.
there's accommodations at work that are analogous to the ones you get in school, so you yourself could be making your life a lot easier for yourself if you got diagnosed, and at
Right.
least. This is a thorough psychological exam. I talked to you about how you think, what you think about yourself, how you get along with others, how you think under crisis. Are you distorting? What's your primary emotions? Like, is it depression and anxiety? Are you defending against it by like avoiding? Like, it's a whole thorough examination. It's not just X's and O's.
I love that. Well, I
Thank you,
agree.
Doctor. Thank you, Miss Vicky.
Yeah. Vicky, Dr. Vicky says Dr. Linda is brilliant and spot on and always on point. And that is so true. I couldn't agree more. As we wrap, we have a minute or so. Any last thoughts, Dr. Linda, for this awesome session on testing?
I think that this is for the quiet moment where parents really think about what's important. You have a 12 or 13-year-old that's struggling. You're trying to keep it together, hide, argue with your husband about whether he believes in depression or not. I mean, you're trying to do all these things at the same time. It's just time for you to really say, I really need help for my kid, and I have slipped my number across the table with a lot of people and a lot of people that are famous, more famous than all of us, and said, it sounds like you really need help. Let me at least hook you up with somebody and go get some advice, right?
Yes.
Don't wait, right? For
Right.
those of you who have older children, y'all know this. And I can tell when people have older children because they always get help for the younger children for easier, right? Like, I'm not going through that again. So I'm just saying to you all, sit with yourselves. Is it time for you to get support? Is it time for you to get support with your child? An assessment is an expensive thing and you don't want it for everything, but sometimes it's absolutely necessary.
That's right. And the last comment in the chat, I will read. Dr. Linda, my daughter has had neuropsych testing and was granted a few accommodations, but this was prior to her bipolar disorder. Original testing was just with ADHD, but included an entire battery. What would your recs be now? What would your recommendation be now? She's in the 12th grade.
I would look at everything again because this is a critical year before they go off to college. And those are some pretty disparate diagnoses. And I am not wedded to any prior diagnosis. Sometimes I carry it forth because the person needs me to carry it forth for accommodations. But if this is the time to really understand what is the diagnosis from someone who knows what they're doing. Right. And because of these mixed diagnoses, you need a varsity tester. Right. I always say that. I say that to Kelly sometimes. You don't need no
That's
JV.
right. That's
Right.
right. Right.
This
I
is a
love
time
that.
you need a good tester. And it doesn't
Linda's the star
always,
player. She's a star of the team. She's our point
so
guard
you don't
star.
want to, that doesn't always mean the most expensive either. Like I've had expensive testers that weren't aren't good and cheaper testers that are excellent. So you get the recommendation, ask people, and if you don't, if you're in a jurisdiction that's outside of here, you want a local one, send me a note. Now realize it might take me a little minute to get back to you. Because right now I'm trying to finish up a whole everybody's testing before they go off to college or school or the LSATs or wherever. I'm backed up and then I'm going to take a week off and sleep.
Good for you.
So send me a note and then I will get back to you.
And can you share in the chat or tell me how people can reach you? I can put it in the she says I'm originally from DC, we can come there. So that's
Yep,
wonderful.
perfect.
What is your email?
I
Are you gonna
put it
oh
in
you put
the
in.
I put it in
Awesome.
there and I'm all over not online. So even my speaker site, my podcast site, they all come to my email. So if you just forget that email address, just go ahead and look at Miss McGee and Associates or even my speaker site, Linda McGee. It'll all come to me and just say, "Hey, I was on Sunrise and I need help."
And you will be prioritized. And she responds to everybody, even if it's a couple days later, but she always does. And so
And
thank you
sometimes you
for.
all know that I'm looking for referrals. So sometimes it'll takes me a while to like y'all
To
call
find the
with
right
very
person.
unique needs. You want somebody that's in New York that deals with this. And so it takes me a while to find someone, but I have
You always
channels.
do.
I will find them.
Thank you so much. I'm going to turn it over to Dr. Vicky to close us out this morning. This was so good. Thank you. Thank you, as always.
God, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, that you've made, and we choose to rejoice and give you glory. We thank you because we are grateful. We are grateful for Dr. Linda and this space that we get to share with this brilliant woman. Thank you so much for the gift of Dr. Linda McGee, for the gift of Sunrise, of Kelly and Dr. D. Thank you for this safe space for us to support one another, pray for one another, just extend love to one another, and get information, tools, and education so that we can be better people, better parents, and help our children as they journey on in this life. Bless us as we go throughout the furtherance of this day and bring us back together again on next Sunday for another session of the Sunrise Project, this Sunday support call. Thank you for this community, for healing happens in community, and we are grateful to be in the room. We give you glory for all of these things. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a powerful day,
Amen.
everyone.
Amen. Thank you, Dr. Vicky. Have a beautiful day. We'll be back next week, 9 a.m. Eastern. Take care.